Chapter 25. Without a Paddle. He kept saying he was from Tennessee and he didn't need this shit. She kept thinking she was going to die, the way he was driving, or anyway those cops would soon be after them, or the one who shot Sammy. She still didn't know what had happened, and wasn't that Nigel who'd plowed into that tight-faced one? But he'd hung this right off Bryant, so she told him left on Folsom, because if the assholes were coming, she figured she wanted the hate. Best place she knew to get lost. And that was definitely what she intended to do, earliest opportunity. And this Ford was just like the one Mr. Matthews drove, ran the holding facility up in Beaverton. And she'd tried to stab somebody with a screwdriver. She'd never done anything like that in her life before. And she'd wrecked that black guy's computer, the one with the haircut. And this bracelet on her left wrist, the other half flipping around, open on three links of chain. He reached over and grabbed the loose cuff, did something to it without taking his eyes off the street. He let go. Now it was locked shut. "Why'd you do that?" "So you don't snag it on something, wind up cuffed to the door handle or a street sign."
"Take it off."
"No key." She rattled it at him.
"Take it off."
"Stick it up the sleeve of your jacket. Those are Beretta cuffs, real good cuffs." He sounded like he was sort of happy to have something to talk about, and his driving had evened out. Brown eyes, not old, 20s maybe, cheap clothes like Kmart stuff, all wet. Light brown hair cut too short, but not short enough. She watched a muscle in his jaw work like he was chewing gum, but he wasn't.
"Where are we going?" she asked him.
"Fuck if I know," he said, gunning the engine a little. "You the one said left."
"Who are you?"
He glanced over at her. "Rydell. Barry Rydell."
"Barry?"
"Barry. Like straw. Like dingle." "Hey, this is a big fucking street. Lights and everything."
"Right."
"So where should I—"
"Right!"
"Okay," he said, and hung it.
"Why?"
"The hate. Lots of people up late. Cops don't like to go there."
"Ditch this car there?"
"Turn your back on it 2 seconds, it's history."
"They got ATMs there?"
"Uh-uh." "Well, here's one." Up over a curb, hunks of crazy safety glass falling out of the frame where the back window had been. She hadn't even noticed that. He dug a soggy-looking wallet out of his back pocket and started pulling cards out of it, 3 of them. "I have to try to get some cash," he said. He looked at her. "You want to jump out of this car and run?" He shrugged. "Then you just go for it." Then he reached in his jacket pocket and pulled out the glasses and Code's phone that she'd scooped when the lights went out in Dissidence, because she knew from Lowell that people in trouble need a phone, most times worse than anything. He dropped them in her lap, the asshole's glasses and the phone. "Yours." Then he got out, walked over to the ATM, and started feeding it cards. She sat there, watching it emerge from its armor, the way they do, shy and cautious, its cameras coming out, too, to monitor the transaction. He stood there, drumming his fingers on the side, his mouth like he was whistling, but he wasn't making any noise. She looked down at the case and the phone and wondered why she didn't just jump out and run, like he said. Finally he came back, thumb counting a fold of bills, stuck it down his front jeans pocket and got in. He sailed the first of his cards out the open window at the ATM, which was pulling back into its shell like a crab. "Don't know how they canceled that one so quick after you put that thing through Freddy's laptop." Flicked another, then the last one. They lay in front of the ATM as its Lexan shield came trundling down, their little holograms winking up in the machine's halogen floods.
"Somebody'll get those," she said.
"Hope so," he said. "Hope they get them and go to Mars." Then he did something in reverse with all 4 wheels, and the Ford sort of jumped up and backward into the street, some other car swerving past them, all brakes and horn, and the driver's mouth a black O. And the part of her that was still a messenger sort of liked it. All the times they'd cut her off. "Shit," he said, jamming the gear thing around until he got what he needed, and they took off. The handcuff was rubbing on the rash where the red worm had been.
"You a cop?"
"No."
"Security, like from the hotel?"
"Uh-uh."
"Well," she said, "what are you?"
Streetlight sliding across his face. Seemed like he was thinking about it. "Up Shit Creek, without a paddle."